Welcome back to Zane Speaks Out on September 26th, 2019, Season 2, Episode number 7. What's going on, guys? And welcome back to another episode of Zane Speaks Out. Today, I am not going to lie, I have had quite a few podcast guests on Season 2. This is Episode 7. Six of the seven episodes have been special guests. Now, no offense to any of my other podcast people, because everybody who I've had on this episode, on this show, has been absolutely phenomenal and sensational, and I've not only built a connection with them as a business, but also as in a friendship, and I really do appreciate everybody on this podcast. However, today is hands down my favorite episode that I have ever put out on Zane Speaks Out, simply because I have a massive love for the Los Angeles area. I spend a lot of time in Los Angeles. It is my favorite place in the entire United States, and I have a massive love for the real estate market as well. This episode has both of those included in it. Today we speak to Enzo Fiore, a 20-year-old actor and real estate agent from Beverly Hills, California. Currently, Enzo is selling a $50 million property in Bel Air, California. Enzo, welcome to Zane Speaks Out.
What's going on, my man? Thank you so much for having me on here.
Absolutely. I am honestly, like, out of all the podcasts, so this is what? This is episode 7 of season 2. Out of all seven people, I'm not going to lie, I think you're kind of one of my favorite, like most excited to talk to, because A, I love LA, I love Beverly Hills, so you're literally in like my favorite part, and B, I freaking love real estate, and I see you with Grant Cardone. I love Grant Cardone, so I'm really excited for this episode.
Yes, man, me too. It's going to be amazing.
Absolutely agree. So I don't know anything about you, so tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, age, whatever. Tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah, definitely. So I am 20 years old. I turned 20 in July. So I've been in luxury high-end real estate out in Beverly Hills, California for about 5 years now. I started in real estate when I was 15, actually, by accident. We'll go into that a little bit later, but weird story. I got into real estate at 15, and I've been doing it ever since, and I love it. And I also coach people around the world through social media and videos and private coaching and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's a little bit about my backstory.
Dude, that is insane. So you started at 15 in real estate?
15, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I can tell the story. It's a crazy little
yeah,
story.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us.
Yeah. So I started when I was 15. So what originally happened was I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. So okay.
Are you a Patriots fan?
I am a Patriots fan.
Oh, God.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
So anyways, I'm originally from Boston, and I'm a Patriots fan. And and originally, I was in the entertainment industry. So I was an actor, and I did recording vocals. So I was a singer and an actor. And I did a bunch of stuff in that arena, and I ended up getting hired for a movie. So that's why I came out to LA. I thought I was going to be in LA for like 2 weeks, and I came out here to film, and I did that, and then I just ended up staying. Like, I loved it out here. I loved the atmosphere and the people and the opportunity. So I just ended up staying out here, and then I was about 14 and a half, so started doing that. And then when I was out here, I started living in Beverly Hills, and I just like literally I'd be driving with my parents through the neighborhoods, and I'm like, oh my God, the real estate is so different here. Like, there's like amazing houses. So then I kind of like started to research it. I was really interested, and I just kind of like fell in love with the real estate out here. So I was like, okay, Enzo, you need to get into this. Obviously, the money is amazing. Obviously, you can make insane connections. And I always kind of wanted to run a business. I always treated my entertainment side as a business. So I was like, wow, real estate would be a great addition. So I called, I want to say 30 of the top agents in Beverly Hills, like 15-year-old kid calling 30
That's
of the top
nuts. Real estate.
And yeah, so I called 30 and I had like a massive follow-up schedule, and I one of them called me back, one of them. So I was like, listen, I want to get into real estate. I'll work for free. I'll intern. I'll do whatever, but I want to get into it. And this one woman, her name was Barbara, she agreed to meet with me. I took her to lunch, and yeah, that's how I started. So I just started interning with her, and then the rest is history.
Bro, I absolutely, that's got to be one of, that is such a cool story. You talk about like initiative there, like that's so sick, especially at that age, because, you know, most people don't know what they want to do. The fact that you not only knew what you wanted to do, but then you actually took the initiative because you knew what you wanted to do and you actually made it happen is awesome, because so many people can talk, but not everybody takes the action. And at that age to do that, man, that is nuts.
Definitely, yeah. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I mean, I always had kind of like, I always had a drive. I don't know what it came from. I think part of it was my parents. Part of it was, you know, YouTube. I was always that kid, like in school, like I'd be in the classroom, and we all had iPads in my school. So I'd be on, during class, I'd have my little earphones and I'd be watching like Jordan Belfort videos and like, I forget who, like Gary Vee and stuff. Like I was always interested in like becoming great. Like I never wanted to do the average path of, you know, doing like getting a 9-to-5 job. I never wanted to do that. So I always had a little bit of like fire inside of me to do something great.
Absolutely, man. I can relate to that in every way, because that is exactly what I would do. I took a little bit of a detour because like I was always the same way growing up. I was never wanting to be like, you know, kind of like the average Joe. I was doing the same thing. Like I'd be in class, they're watching Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, Jordan Belfort, like you said, like literally that is exactly what I would do. And then I ended up getting a really good job that paid pretty well. Well, it was, I was running Domino's pizza stores, and I did that for 3 years, and everything was good minus the fact of, I, at the time, because I'm 24 now, I was 20, 21, and 22 when I was doing it, and everything was good, but I just knew that I was cut out for more, and I was miserable with the fact that I was working like 90 hours a week when I knew I could be doing more, something that I actually wanted to do, and that's when I, once again, I left the 9-to-5 route to do my own business, so I can totally relate to that, and that is an awesome, awesome story. So it's obviously, this might be getting too personal, and if it is, let me know, but obviously,
it's too personal, my man. We got it. We got it. We're going to give value to these people.
All right, man. That's what I love to hear. So, Beverly Hills, if you haven't been to Beverly Hills, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but Beverly Hills is an extremely rich area. So, at the age of 14 and 15, how the hell did you afford to live there?
Yeah, well, so originally, I mean, I was only 14 and 15, so my mom actually ended up moving out here with me. So what had happened was I made some money, you know, with my acting and stuff, and then we got the chance to move, you know, on the west side. I lived in the valley when I first came out, but then once things started rolling, we moved over to Beverly Hills. And yeah, I mean that's kind of, we just ended up here, and we really didn't even like, we knew about Beverly Hills, but we didn't really know about Beverly Hills. You know what I mean? Like I had no idea like what houses cost here
absolutely.
That. I was just like, oh, Beverly Hills, I've seen that, let's do it.
Yeah, literally for motivation, like I said, I'm in LA a lot, and I know there's nights like after I get done with races or I get done with certain events, and I'll be in like a really nice car, like Lambo or something, rented for the week, or I'll get hooked up with one of my race partners, and I will literally at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night just drive down the streets of like Beverly Hills, like just like, okay, this is what I'm striving for. This is what I want to be. And like, it's crazy because that, like I said, so we were talking a little bit before the podcast started, but I have such a want to live like in that LA area, mainly Santa Monica. I just love the beach and I love the Santa Monica area, but that area, not only does it have that opportunity, but it has that just aura of like, you know, wanting to be great. And that's what I love about that area. Like you're there trying to create something more than yourself.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Yeah, the energy is just crazy. Like it's so, you know, coming from the East Coast, like I lived in a small town outside of Boston. So it's just a totally different dynamic. Like the dynamic back home was, you know, everybody kind of just did the normal thing. There wasn't anybody trying to do something great. And the people that tried to do something great weren't living there anymore. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, it's kind of, it sounds weird, but I think that's a very important aspect is, obviously, you know, where you live, if you can be around and move to somewhere where people have that energy that motivates you and encourages you to just, like, strive for more, and I think it's life-changing, you know?
Oh, my God, man, you hit the nail on the head. That is exactly, you're, like, one step ahead of me when it comes to that, because you said the exact thing. Like, I'm from a very small town in Ohio. I'm about 20 minutes south of Columbus, but they're, like, I love this area. I love the people here. But once again, everybody is just kind of, at least in this small area, mostly just everybody's got the 9-to-5, working the average life. Now, I will say, I am very impressed with Columbus because I'm sure you know this in real estate, but, like, Columbus is, like, the hottest real estate market, like, right now there is. And I've been associating myself with a lot of people up in this market, like the real estate market. And there's a lot of very, very successful real estate people in this area. And it's really nice to see growth. But you definitely hit the nail on the head with that. So switching up topics just a tad. So what was the role for the movie? Like, what movie was it? Is it anything big?
Yeah, so funny story. It actually never got released, but I was disappointed in the beginning. But also, I look back and I'm like, wow, that's literally the reason that gave me the ticket to come out here and do everything I'm doing right now. So even though it didn't work out, but anyways, the movie. I had met this producer when I had come out here for a music conference. So I had come out here, I had performed at the conference, whatever. I met this producer and he's like, hey, I got this film I'm doing with Ray Liotta. You know Ray Liotta from
Goodfellas. Yeah, absolutely.
So he's like, I got this film, you're gonna be your role is gonna be Ray Liotta's son in the movie.
That's dope.
So I'm like, all right. Like, I had this feeling like, oh my God, I've made it. Obviously, it never worked out, but like, just that feeling of like, oh my God, like, I'm going to go out and do a movie with Ray Liotta, like, watch Goodfellas so many times. But anyways, we came out here, we did our thing. It never got released for some reason. But then I ended up becoming part of a Verizon series. Like, it was a TV series. So I did that for a little bit. And then, you know, I just, I was in the entertainment industry for a while, and then I kind of just saw what it really was, and I kind of just moved away from it. And, but it's great because that's how I got into real estate, and I just fell in love with the game, and here we are.
Man, that is so sick. Like, I'm a firm believer, and so many people nowadays, you know, there's so much negativity in the world. There's so many people that, you know, that what's the word I'm looking for? That just something happens, and what people need to realize is in their life that everything happens for a reason, and whether it's a positive or a negative, there's a reason that it happened. And so many people dwell, like, when something bad happens, something bad happens to all of us all the time. It's life. It's a roller coaster. But when something bad happens, you don't dwell on it. You realize, like, there's nothing I can do about it. What are the lessons that I can learn here? And let's take a step forward and move on. Now, just like you said, like, you didn't get the movie didn't get released. I was probably all, like, depressing or whatever, you know, you're upset. And then you're like, well, shit, you know, now I'm a real estate guy. And that's how everything happens. So you just got to trust that process. And that definitely speaks wonders, not only to me, but I feel like my audience. I know it's super, definitely, super cool. I don't remember his name. I know my mom does because she actually watches his movies, but not last time, but the time before ago, I was in LA, I think sometime a couple months ago. I got into an Uber and ends up that the Uber driver was a Hollywood movie director, writer, and he was also an actor. And I didn't know anything about him until I, like, looked up his information. And I guess he's like, he's on Lifetime, and he was, like, one of the most popular Lifetime screenwriters and actors that there are. Like, my mom knows him really well, and I guess he won a Grammy too. And it was really cool. And I'm like, what the, like, at the time I didn't know who he was, but I'm like, what are you doing Ubering? And he's like, I got free time. Like, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to come out and just enjoy life. And I'm like, man, that is so sick.
Wow. Only in LA.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I know I saw some stuff with you with Grant. Are you, have you gone to 10X at all?
Yes, I actually went to the Miami 10X.
Dude, I was there.
You were there. Yeah. How did you not meet?
I don't, dude, that's crazy. For as many times I've been in LA, I've never met you. For as many times, for 10X, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Are you going to the one in Vegas?
I have a ticket. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it right now because it's just super busy here, but I'm going to try to make it for sure.
Yeah, totally. I'm the same way. I've got a ticket. I plan on going. That'd be sick if you could go. Definitely got to meet up then. Right before this, you talked about your new listing that you've got right after this. So what'd you say, Bel Air, $50 million mansion?
Yeah, so it's right on the line of like Bel Air and Holmby Hills. I don't know if you guys know where that is, but it's like the most upscale neighborhood in LA.
Is it in the gated community, like off of UCLA, like in that area?
Yeah. So I don't know. So it's in the same neighborhood as it just made news stories. The Spelling Manor Mansion. It just sold for $120 million.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Expensive sale. Yeah, so it's right near there. This house is $50 million. We're doing a bunch of cool press. I'm meeting Architectural Digest there in about half an hour. So a lot of like press stuff happening. We're going to throw a huge party there in about 2 weeks. So yeah, it's a great listing. So it's just, it's crazy. I mean, it's $50 million. So it's definitely going to be a trip to sell that thing for sure.
That is so, so cool. Like, I have a huge love for the real estate game. I know one really good real estate guy here who multimillionaire, makes a crap ton of money, very young age. But it's not something that I've like put a lot of time into. I have a lot of respect for it. And it's something that I really want to learn because I could care less about the money. I love the thought, like I love the process of it. And while I have a lot to learn, and right now I'm not financially able to do that because like I said, with racing, like I run a media company as well. I got two businesses, my racing company, then my media business. And like all my attention is on that. But once the money starts to come along more, I want to do real estate and not necessarily selling. I don't necessarily want to get my license, but I want to like, you know, buy properties and then fix them up and then sell them back out. And that's definitely something I want to do. That is so cool. So once again, I'm kind of curious. I listen to a lot of real estate guys. The main real estate guy I listen to other than Grant is Ryan Serhant from New York City. I'm sure you know him.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I just got done listening to his book, How to Sell It Like Serhant. But what's your typical commission from like, so if you, let's say you sell that $50 million place, what's the commission on something like that?
Yeah. So the $50 million one, that's about a $2 million commission. So that one's a really good one. And I mean the typical commission's like $250,000-$300,000. For the market that I'm working in.
That's a damn good commission. Now, are you with a real estate company or are you on your own?
Yeah, I'm actually with one of the top grossing teams in LA. It's the Ben Bacall team. I work closely with Ben. We're kind of partners. But our team, we have about 5 people on the team, and we've done over $2 billion in real estate transactions.
Man, that is crazy. I can't even imagine that. You're like, you might as well just be on what's the $1 million listing?
Yeah, $1 million listing. That's so funny. Yeah,
that's crazy. I love that show. I'm a huge, huge fan of that show.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what is your God? You've been so successful at such a young age. What's your advice to anybody? They can even like if you have a 9-to-5 job, that's fine. But what is your advice to somebody who's looking to be bigger than themselves and grow in any environment?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's two things. Two things that changed the game for me was getting my mindset right because I think. You know, with so much social media and so many YouTube videos and just advice everywhere, it's just like you can get so confused with your mindset. And I think probably the biggest thing for me was to think bigger. I just whatever goals you have, aim higher. Like you don't even know what your potential is until you really, really start doing like massive things. So I would say, like, get your mindset right, figure out how you can keep yourself motivated, whether that's, I just did a video on my Instagram about this, whether that's keeping, you know, pictures of the car you want, the house you want all around you at all times, just stay motivated, because that's hard to do in the world today. There's so much negativity and there's so much negative vibrations from people because everybody's always, you know, down and all that stuff. So just, I would say, get your mindset right and learn how to take massive action and just like, just focus, laser focus, and then just like, just only focus on your ultimate vision and just grind at that, leave all the other noise out of it. And actually, I would add on a third thing is learn how to sell. I don't care what you're doing. You could have a 9-to-5 job. You could be a doctor. You could be a lawyer. You could be whatever. Learn how to sell, because what I've learned being in real estate is that literally everything in life requires selling. And if you're not selling, you're being sold too. Whether it's, I mean, like getting the girl of your dreams, or for the girls listening, the guy of your dreams, you need to sell them on why you're the best choice. You need to sell your boss on why you deserve a raise. Like, everything is selling. So I would say mindset, massive action, and learn how to sell.
Dude, I'm literally sitting here laughing because, first off, I did not, you were so knowledgeable at the age of 20. It's insane. And I wish like hell, like I said, I'm 24, but I wish I would have had that same mindset back when I was 20. I think I figured it out around 23, but I'm sitting here laughing because you sound identical to me. I literally just made a video like 2 weeks ago on how every single thing in life is sales. And I had somebody come back with like, well, no, like getting a girlfriend's not a sale. And I'm like, oh, really? Because guess what? You have to sell them on why they should date you. Everything in life is sales. Everything.
Can I tell a little story for the person who commented that?
Go for it.
All right, so my girlfriend right now, she is as well from a different part of the country, and before I even met her, we ended up being like in the same area, but we didn't know each other, and then I was out here in LA, and here's a testament that sales is applicable to this. Not sales in the corny way that you think of it. Maybe that's what this person was talking about, but it is a sale, because what happened was I literally on Instagram DM'd my girlfriend right now. I DM'd her for a year. I didn't get anything back. It's similar. I don't know if you've ever heard Grant Cardone's story with Elena.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. He said it at 10X.
Very similar. Very similar. So I was going after this girl for a year. I didn't get any responses. Finally, a year later, she's like, hey, I'm coming to LA. Let's link up. So that's how that happened. But literally it was a year of selling, nonstop selling, and finally it worked out.
That is an awesome story. And it's crazy to hear something like that. And that leads me into like a kind of another point on the same kind of topic, but I just had this, not the same thing happen to me, but in the sense of follow up, because you've got to follow up. Don't stop trying, whether it's a client or anything in life. If you have an opportunity to follow up, do it. I know Ryan Serhant in his book, Sell It Like Serhant, that is his number one thing to getting new clients is follow up.
Yeah.
And you got to make an impression. If you don't make that impression, nobody's going to take notice of who you are. And I know the perfect example, I have a meeting tomorrow with a media client for a shoot coming up. And I've been trying to get them for like 6 months. And I would email them like every single week for like, or I would email them every other week. And I've been doing it for like 6 months. And just the other day, they actually responded back and they're like, hey, let's have a meeting this week. So now I'm about to go meet up with them tomorrow and I'm hoping to close a sale with it. But that's crazy because it all kind of correlates, like how you talked about with the sales, and then that leads into follow up. Just because somebody says no right then and there doesn't mean that that's a no for good. You know, you got to keep following up because it takes no to say yes. And sometimes you'll get those four or five no's before you get that yes.
100%. And I think that also something that will help a lot of people with staying on the follow-up, because a lot of my coaching clients are like, Enzo, like, I understand the premise of following up, but how do I actually keep myself accountable? How do I make sure that I'm following up? Because I know it's tough for a lot of people, and it is tough if you're going after a lot of people, whether you're prospecting or whatever it is, it's hard to keep that follow-up routine. And I think the most important thing to stay with it is, instead of have goals, have a vision for the future. You have to have a vision of what you want your life to look like. You have to have a vision of the legacy you want to leave, because that will pull you to do whatever it takes. I think goals, if you have a high goal and you get a no, you might just throw it out, like, oh, whatever, like, that wasn't worth it, like, we're good. But if you have a vision, that vision will pull you to do whatever the hell it takes, to follow up, to make sure you're on these people, to make sure you're doing what you need to be doing. That vision will pull you everywhere.
Couldn't agree more, man. I, in every sense of the way, and I know, just a quick little tip for follow-up, that was kind of the mindset thing, at least on my end, for actual productivity to follow up. Every single time I email, I talk to, whether in person or on the phone, a client, I immediately go to my phone or my Mac, and I put down who I talk to, when I talk to them, and every single day I'll set a reminder after 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks from that time, it will automatically get a reminder to follow up with this person. And then every day I'm following up with new people, new people, new people. And my list keeps growing and growing. But at that time, I'm also pulling clients at the same time. So I know that's like my quick tip for that, for follow up when it comes to actually staying organized and staying productive. So that's a great, great tip though with the mindset. So I don't want to hold you this whole time because I know you got places to be. You got a huge place to be. I'm, on the other hand, I'm editing a YouTube video that drops sometime in a few hours. So where can people find you? Where can they follow you? What type of social medias do you got? Where can they find you at?
Yeah. So Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all at Enzo Enterprises. Yeah, and same with YouTube at Enzo Enterprises. So Enzo Enterprises, everything. If you guys want to see some motivational videos daily, go on Instagram, TikTok, everything. Every daily content. You can get a free copy of my new book on EnzoFiori.com and on my social media platforms. So yeah, at Enzo Enterprises.
That's awesome. What type of content do you produce for YouTube?
I do motivational, so I go into sales, I go into mindset, I go into follow-up, actually. That's so funny. I just did a video on follow-up. And just, you know, becoming, like, the best you can be.
Totally, totally. Yeah, my YouTube channel correlates around two things, which is my racing career and, like, all my travels, and then exactly what you just said, kind of like business/entrepreneurship/, like, motivation, kind of like what it takes to be an entrepreneur. So honestly, so like I said, I am going to be in LA. So I go to Denver next week and then Vegas. Yeah. So I will be in LA on third and fourth week in November for a car event out there. So I would totally love to meet up, grab some coffee, talk more. And if you're down, I'd love to do like a YouTube collab too, because I think that'd be cool. I'd love to have you in my vlog that I'll be doing for the day.
Let's do it, my man. I'm down.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, once again, I was not disappointed at all, or not let down at all, with this episode. I think this is my favorite podcast episode I've done, and I'm on 7 episodes of special guests, and I'm on, this is like episode 40 from my whole podcast, and I think this was my favorite one. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your extremely busy and hectic schedule to talk, and I look forward to seeing you in about a month down in L.A.
Definitely, of course, my man, and thank you so much for having me on. You're spreading a lot of good stuff to all your viewers and everything, and I really appreciate what you're doing. And it was a great time.
Absolutely, man, could not agree more. And I cannot let you go without saying good luck on this Bel Air sale. I hope you kill it, and I hope you get the sale.
Thank you so much, my man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. All right, well, stay in touch, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. All right, that is going to wrap it up for today's Zane Speaks Out episode. Definitely be sure to follow Enzo down below. Give him all the love. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave your comments down below on what you thought of the podcast. And also, hit that like button. Without further ado, I will catch you guys right back here on Monday with another episode of Zane Speaks Out. Peace out, and remember, you create your own story.